Well, it's wonderful to see you all this morning. Very warm welcome if you are visiting with us. My name's David, and it's really great to have you here on this glorious March morning. We're looking in a moment at a wonderful passage, the next bit in our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and looking at this theme of secret weapons. And this week we're thinking about this amazing secret weapon of giving that just touches and blesses people's lives all over the world in ways we're often not aware as we maybe give a gift. And I just had my ears open for any stories of people who'd been blessed by receiving a gift. And so I just wondered if Nelia, you come forward and share what you shared with me. And can we just give Nelia a big round of applause? Thank you, Nelia, for being willing to come and do this. Do you want to come up here with me? For those who don't know, Nelia leads our prayer ministry team. She's our deacon for our prayer team, and so thankful for all you do in that kind of often hidden way, but blesses so many. But do share with us something of your story, Nelia.
Good morning, everyone. Thinking today that God is faithful, I just want to share with you a holiday club. My son, Joshua, he was very busy helping, revising, doing driving lessons, quite a busy week. And one afternoon, it was raining, it was windy, and he had a driving lesson, put his glasses on his pocket, carry on with his day, got home to do some revision, and couldn't find his glasses. He lost it. So he walked back looking for it. But yeah, that was it. No glasses, and he needs it for studying, and he needed it for his driving test. That was going to be 5 days later. So I just stopped, and I said, okay, we need new glasses. And I just prayed. And I said, God, Joshua needs new glasses. I don't know how we're going to do it, but I'm going to go and get some. I'm going to go and order some with him. And he's with you. And I haven't got time to talk much, so we'll talk more later about it. I'll just put on a credit card. And that was my prayer. And we went, ordered, got a discount. The glasses were ready on time for his driving test. But on a Sunday morning, someone gave me an envelope and said, open later when you get home. I opened the envelope when I got home, and there was a really nice card there. But inside that card, there was some money. And I was, you know, straight on the phone to thank that person, because I just spent the money that I didn't have, but God knew it. But on top of this, it's not just blessing me, because that person was given some money. Someone else gave that person a gift, and God put in that person's heart to share the gift with me. And I could then pay for Joshua's glasses. So God is faithful.
Thank you, Nelia. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Johnny. We've no idea the ripples of blessing that come through our giving. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing on in this series, and we're going to read just some words that Jesus has for us as we think about this great adventure of giving. This is what he says in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4, and it's page 970 if you've got one of these Bibles in front of you. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Should we pray and ask God to help us as we come to understand his word? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that so clearly in scripture we see your heart for the needy. We've been thinking about your faithfulness. And Lord, as we ask for your help for those in need in this congregation here, Lord, we want to pray just a bit more broadly too and ask for your help for those in need in our city. Lord, I pray for those at Brighton University with this mission week coming up soon, Lord. I pray, God, that you would come and minister powerfully there in Brighton University. God, would those in need in all kinds of ways meet you, the great Savior and giver. And Lord, thinking a bit more broadly, we just pray for those who've lost loved ones in the Ethiopian Airlines crash this morning on its way to Nairobi. God, we would pray, Father, for your compassion and help for those who are grieving, for those, maybe even some of those we partner with in Ethiopia who are wondering if they know people on the flight. God, we pray, be very near them. And Lord, for us in our joys and our sorrows, God, we pray that you would be our rock, our refuge, our helper. Lord, be near us, we pray. For we ask in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. One of the amazing things about Jesus' teaching is it's so full of really profound, kind of life-changing, challenging things. And yet also Jesus tells stories that are so full of kind of surprising moments and kind of almost comedy moments. And one of the things we've noticed in our TVs is that often kind of comedy and compassion and great sadness can kind of mix together. I don't know if you're aware, but this Friday is, guess what? I see you all are aware. Red Nose Day. I'm not going to do the whole message like this. Red Nose Day. You know, one of the things I love about Red Nose Day is that people kind of enjoy watching the comedy and then they see the need. And brothers and sisters, the need is massive. The need in our world and the need in our nation, there's so much brokenness. And often people have done a really great job of just helping highlight a situation of need. And people are wonderfully stirred. And Friday will be a day, I hope, where millions will be given. People will be stirred to give £5 here, £10 there. And their lives will be touched. And it is great to see people's heart to give. To give to those in need. You know, it's something that as a church we take so seriously, giving as a church to those in need, whether locally or globally. It's something that Jesus said was so important. It's a key part of the Old Testament, and it's a key part of the New Testament. And Jesus here, did you notice in the passage we had read for us twice, he says, when you give to the needy, it's when, not if. Did you notice that? When you give to the needy. You know, people in most societies recognize and approve of giving to those in need. You know, all the way through this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been going kind of beneath the surface. That's the kind of overall series we've been looking at. Beneath the surface, both of the Old Testament law, trying to really help us see the heart of it and expose what it really meant. But also, getting beneath the surface in our hearts. Revealing and exposing where our hearts are at. Seeking to change and transform us from the inside out. You know, we were thinking last week about the secret weapon of love. Do encourage you, listen back to Tim's talk from last week. And we kind of saw at the end of chapter 5 this amazing call for us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. So chapter 5 ends with this call to be perfect, but then chapter 6 begins. Look with me at the words, the beginning of chapter 6. Be careful. Be careful. This call in this amazing area of things like giving, and we're going to see in future weeks things like prayer and other areas like that. The call is one to, as well as to do those things, to be careful in those things. So even on a day like Red Nose Day, even as we come to think about our giving locally and globally, we have to be careful. Now, there's a warning here, and there's also a paradox. Do you remember how our series started early on in the year? If you can cast your mind back, maybe turn over the page, go back to Matthew chapter 5, and we started looking at verse 13 through to 16, and the way that Jesus calls us to shine, and to be like salt and light, and to taste different, and to look different. And in verse 16, it says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And now turn back over to chapter 6, verse 1. Same message. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, now be careful. not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So there seems to be some tension between those verses, something that on first sight seems to maybe be kind of, well, what are you saying, Jesus? And this is what I want us to probe a bit this morning. And I want us to think first about the danger of giving in front of people. The danger of giving in front of people. Look what Jesus goes on to say, verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. All right, I've got my trumpet here. Let me go and see if I can find someone who maybe could do with a gift. I don't know. Margaret, it was lovely to see you this morning. And I don't know if you need anything. Oh, just hang on a minute. Are you all watching? It's just a little gift, okay? You all okay with that? Maybe, actually, if someone else could play the trumpet for me, that would be really great as well. Anyone? It's silly, isn't it? Sounds a bit ridiculous. But, you know, I was thinking about this. And actually, they did used to do this a bit. And you kind of think, really? Like, making a sort of real kind of show of this is the giving moment, and kind of also then when they did it on the streets, look, we're giving to the needy. And I was thinking, we got to be careful here because we don't use trumpets so much anymore for that. We have our social media, bing, notification. Look at the thing I did that was so good to help the needy. Or we kind of say, oh, Friday's the giving day. It's Red Nose Day. Quick, are you going to be giving? Quick, make sure that everyone knows that you're part of this thing. All right, here we go. Look at me. I'm going to be part of it. And there's a danger here. There's a danger because Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, we hear that and we think, oh yeah, hypocrites, that's the kind of people who kind of just do things for good things for show, but they don't really mean it. Actually, this is the first time that people used that word in that way. Jesus used it in the New Testament. No one else did. Hypocrite was something he used, and it simply means the word actor, or those with a mask. The actors of the time would put on a mask. He's talking about those people who are literally, what they're doing is simply a performance for an audience. A performance for an audience. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying in chapter 5, look, I want you to be a shining people. And he's saying in chapter 6, I don't want you to be a performing people. So what is the difference between shining and performing? What is the difference between being someone whose life shines and someone whose life is a kind of a performance? Well, performers, what do they do if no one's looking? They don't perform. If no one's looking, there's not much point in doing it. And I think one of the dangers in a wonderful thing like Red Nose Day, and I want to say again, I think it's fantastic that they're encouraging people to think about giving to the needy. One of the sad things is that when the red nose comes off and no one else is sort of making a song and dance of it, the giving stops. And yet the needs in our world are 24/7, 365 days of the year. One of the things is that Jesus also says one of the dangers is that actually when you're giving as a performance, it's all about the show. It's to get the kind of praise from men. Oh, you're part of it. But the thing that's challenging that Jesus says is that actually when you do that, you get your praise. You get your likes on Facebook or thing, or you did that. But you don't get a reward from heaven. What Jesus says, if you look down in verse 2, he says, when they announce it on the street corners, to be honored by others, truly I tell you, they received their reward in full. That what they are seeking is to have the honor of others, and what they get is the honor of others, maybe just for a moment. And often the world's praise and rewards are so fleeting and fickle, but they still get that, and now they've got it. And one of the warnings Jesus is saying to his disciples is that we can be like that. We can be those that, whether it's for others to see or maybe even for our own selves to see, to congratulate ourselves, to kind of go, hey, aren't we great? We can be kind of very conscious of our giving, maybe to try and kind of appease some of that guilt from seeing the needs in the world there and often how little compassion we show. And so there can be all kinds of things that can go on in our heart. And it can mean that we can be one thing in public and another thing in private. We might do generous acts from time to time, but we're not really a generous person. And it's all about who we want to be seen by. I want to ask you, who do you want to be seen by? Whose approval and affirmation do you want? We like affirmation. That's one of the reasons why so much social media is so successful. We want affirmation. It's not just a new thing with social media. It was there all through society, that desire to be affirmed and accepted. And Jesus knows we like to be seen. Jesus knows we like to be seen, particularly when we've done something that we feel is good. We mustn't mishear Jesus' words here as well. He's not saying that we are wrong to want to be seen. He is saying that what we so often forget is that it's better to be seen and rewarded by God than by men. It's not that we're wrong to want to be seen, it's that it's better to be seen and rewarded and honored by God rather than men. And so this is the second and final thing I want us to see this morning, the blessing of giving in front of God. Look how Jesus continues. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Jesus is calling us this morning to a radical orientation of our lives towards God. That God would become the preoccupation of our lives. That in a world where we can so easily make it all about us or all about what others think of us, God is saying, no, play to the audience of one. Play your life to the audience of one. Do what you do for him and let that be enough. Tom Wright, in one of his books on this subject, says this. He says, what matters in these kind of acts of righteousness, like giving and praying, what matters is learning to do them simply to and for God himself. All the Sermon on the Mount, in fact, is centered on God himself, who easily gets squeezed out of religion if we are not careful. It's possible to do all kinds of things, good things, but actually not do them for God. Not do them with him at the center. But it is all about God. It's not about us. And, you know, when our hearts can so easily make people big and God small, I find that things like what we've been doing this morning and praising God and remembering, no, God is this great, big, wonderful God. It helps me right-size God and it helps me right-size myself and others. See, Jesus knows how easily our hearts can be deceived, can kind of go the wrong way. And so he gives us some really practical advice. Jesus gives us some really practical antidotes to this danger of giving in front of people. You know what Jesus' kind of practical advice is? Hiddenness. His practical advice is there in verse 3. His practical advice is verse 3 and 4. It's this secrecy. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You know, hiding and secrecy is great fun. Your kids, even at a young age, they kind of like to play hide and seek. You know, ooh, there you go. You know, it's just great fun. But as we get older,
So often we associate the hidden secret things with things like lying and adultery and lust and addictions. And the secret place in life can be a hidden place of sin, rather than realizing that when that happens, it leaves a kind of trail of destruction. Far, far better is to see that the hidden secret life can be a place of great fun and intimacy and excitement in a good way that leaves a trail of blessing. You know, Jesus is calling us here to a hidden secret life with God, to know that actually, to know that He sees, and that's enough. That we want to know that we kind of know that we're a secret admirer of God and He of us, and that there's something special in that phrase, a kind of real intimacy that grows. I was thinking about this, and the phrase secret admirer, you know, it sounds like someone in love, doesn't it? You're a secret admirer of them. You know, I was a secret admirer of Laura before we got married, and you know, I knew I liked her. You know, managed to you know, get to that place where we could actually talk about it and do things together. And you know, now it's kind of public knowledge. You know, I'm married to her, so I kind of I hope you kind of you know that. But you know, if my relationship now with Laura was all about the kind of public performance, it wouldn't be much of a marriage. Actually, what keeps marriage strong, keeps our marriage strong, is that I'm still a secret admirer of Laura. That there's things that are between us that wouldn't make any sense to you, things we do for one another or say to one another, and we do it because we love one another. Now, sure, sometimes that becomes visible, but that's not why I'm doing it. And in the same with God. The hidden secret things, sure, they may sometimes get seen by others. That's not the point. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 5 has this wonderful little phrase. It says, in the same way, good deeds are obvious. And even those that are not, even those that we sometimes try to hide, they cannot be hidden. But I found what Dallas Willard wrote on this very, very helpful. That the thing he says is that it's not, are we seen doing a good deed, like giving, but are we doing a good deed to be seen by others? Or are we doing it so that it's seen by God? Because when you go back to that shining verse in Matthew 5:16, when our lives are shining, when, you know, Matthew 5:16, just read it again with me. In the same way, let your good deeds shine before others that they may see your good deeds and do what? Glorify your God in heaven. See, He gets the glory when it's actually not about us and we're not doing it for show. He's the one who gets the glory. So I want to encourage you in your life in things like giving. I find it helpful to, when I'm tempted to hide something, realize that that's the thing I need to show. I need to be a bit more honest with people. And I try to be about areas of sin in my life and things where I think, you know what, actually I'd be tempted to hide that, but I'm gonna let people in on that. Confess and say I need. I'm gonna, you know, when tempted to hide the gospel, I'm going to speak about Jesus. Even at our pancake party this week that I told you about last week. You know, everyone's having fun and I can feel like, oh, should I get up and say something about Jesus and try and stop all this? And I'm thinking, no, I'm going to do it. Right. Boom. And everyone's kind of like, oh, but that's the stuff we can be tempted to hide, but we need to say. But the other stuff where we're tempted to show it off, that's the time to hide it. That's the time to hide it and allow that hiddenness to be a wonderful thing between you and God that just brings great joy and delight. I found this little verse, verse 3, quite a fun one to meditate on. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do you see how Jesus said, when you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's almost like a kind of self-forgetfulness, you know, which keeps us from any kind of self-righteousness. I was thinking about, you know, how that kind of works. And sometimes when you're learning to drive a car, you're very conscious of, okay, gear shift, car, you know, drive, and you learn it, oh, my feet got to do this, but then over time you become unconscious of it, you just do it. And this is the kind of thing that Jesus is encouraging us, that our kind of giving to the needy is just part of our relationship with God all the way through our lives. And it becomes part of the kind of the way our lives are shaped. So, you know, we kind of pick up traits from our parents that we sometimes do unconsciously. And, when we see that happening, we can kind of say, oh, yeah, family likeness. And that's what it's to be like with God. He's our Father in heaven. We're to have that kind of family likeness. See, he's the one in verse 1 where it says, if you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. See, God's a Father in heaven who loves to give rewards. I don't know what you're like as a dad, but I love to give things to my kids. God is way more like that. He loves to give good things. He is love and he is generous. That is our God. I love the verses that the kids read, just reminded me of this wonderful, faithful God, of this God who, yeah, he does. He meets our needs. He's done that for us time and time again, both individually and corporately. He is a God who is faithful. That is what God is like. And so when I get time with God, I think, oh, that's what I want to be like, to please God. Because I know he is the one who actually everything I have has come from him. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Everything we have is really, we're only stewards from. So that's why it's nuts when we kind of take it and then try and do something with it that gets praised to us when it all comes from God. Tim was and I were talking about this week, and he read a bit from C.S. Lewis, which just fitted so brilliantly with this idea. It just simply says this: God is the only real giver. When you and I give, we're only giving what God has given to us. That's one of the things I loved in Nelia's description. It's like, oh, we got a gift. Oh, we're just sharing it on. This is the truth, that God is the only real giver. He is generous. And as he gives to us, in amazing ways. He gives so costly to him and so freely to us. That's what the Bible calls grace. God gives us grace, and it changes us from people who just do generous things from time to time to being those whose lives have been transformed by grace so that we're generous people. And guys, this is a church which has been transformed by grace, and I am so thrilled to be part of this people where there's so many people who get this and are generous people. I've found that my adventure of giving has grown by being around the people of Holland Road. And I've found that we've kind of been on an adventure of giving as we've done this, that, you know, you can give and it not be about faith. Plainly, that's possible. Lots of people give and it's not about faith. The faith bit is when we believe and know that God sees and that he will reward. And when we do that, it becomes this huge adventure because he's generous, so he's going to keep supplying. We're trusting him to provide our needs, and you cannot outgive God. So we go on this adventure of faith with God, and as a church, there's a wonderful way in where that gets so hidden often, in all kinds of ways, you know. But before we get to some of the hiddenness of it, let's just thank God for the way He has been growing us. You know, I remember a decade or two ago in Holland Road that. There were so many good things going on in the life of the church, but we didn't do as much for the kind of those in real need in the city. There were lots of other good organizations that did that. But God has been growing things through, like, the work of CAP. Growing our heart to say, through what we give as a church, what's given to Holland Road, we give to the work of helping those who are broken and in need of our city. You know, I thank God for those who whose lives have been touched by the work of CAP. I think of someone in our congregation who every time I see her, I think, praise God that, you know, God put it on the heart of people at Holland Road to do this ministry, to reach out to those in need. And lives like that not only get help financially and get out of debt, but their lives can be turned around. They can come to Christ and get baptized and discover a joy and peace. But you know what I was thinking about? While there's some visible signs like that, there's so much we don't see. The giving that is given as a church to the work of CAP means that clients that you and I will never meet are helped, given hope. People that maybe we will never ever know whether they were going down a path where they might end up taking their life. And actually because of a gift or a phone call or a visit, even if it didn't come to them fully getting out of debt, that actually it might lead to their whole eternity being changed. There's all the stuff that we do, we give to, and we just no idea. Or I think of internationally, one of the, again, amazing things that has grown over the last kind of couple of decades, really, as a church, is that the giving to the poorest of the poor and the persecuted church through, again, our ongoing, regularly, we have big gift days for these things, but also our regular giving goes towards this. And, I was thinking back to the times I've had the privilege of visiting some of the lowest caste of Indian society. They're called the Dalits. There's 250 million Dalits in the world. These are just some of the kids. These are the most trafficked people in the world. The people who are most likely to end up as sex slaves or as those in slavery in some way, just doing the most menial of jobs. In fact, in the Indian caste system, they're not allowed other jobs except for the menial ones. And so the leaders of the Dalit community came to the church and said, our people are never going to be free of this bondage unless they start to think differently about themselves. Will you help us educate them? And for years now, we have been giving regularly as a church to fund a school that helps teach Dalit children that they have a value and a purpose and that they can learn things, even simple things like English, which catapult them up in terms of their opportunities for just a completely transformed life. And you know what? I think about some of these kids and I think, you know what? I don't know their names. I don't know everything about them, but I do know this. I do know that through what we are doing, God is able to touch and bless their lives. And, you know, one of the amazing things is that as we do these things as a church, both locally and globally, we do it, we give to the needy, but helping them see this is actually from Christ. We're doing this because of Christ. It's one of the reasons I love Christians Against Poverty, because it's Christians. And so we come and we say, look, here is this gift to meet this need. But here as well, whether it's at the Dalit school where they teach them about Jesus or through CAP where they come and share the good news, here is this gift which meets this need that is actually far, far bigger. Because here's the thing, folks. All of us are needy. All of us are so needy. And actually, when the greatest gift that was ever given came into the world didn't recognize it. When that babe was born in Bethlehem, only a few saw how special it was. He came silently and secretly in so many ways. And then when he did grow up, John writes and says, you know, he came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. And I've been reading through the Gospel of Mark, and I was just got to the point this morning where he was beaten, mocked, scorned. People deserted him, even his followers. But there, on the cross, the greatest gift ever given for our needs was given for us. God himself in Christ dying for you and I. And he didn't do it for the praise of men. In fact, all through his life, Jesus said things like this. He said, I do not accept praise from men. He didn't do it so that people would go, oh yeah, great job, Jesus. You're there on the cross doing this wonderful thing. Because they didn't. They mocked him and ridiculed him. And oh, he saved others. Can't he save himself? But he did it because he and the Father and the Holy Spirit moved by love, and this was the plan. This was the way they were going to save us. And so he, out of this desire to please his father, he said things like this: how can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to accept praise from, comes from the only God? And then later on, can we have the next one? Jesus gave them this answer: very truly I tell you, the son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his father doing, because whatever the father does, the son also does. So Jesus there in Gethsemane, he's crying out, Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Because my eyes are on you, Father God. And it doesn't matter if people are mocking. I'm going to do this thing for you, because we know that actually is good for them. And in love, he gives his life. And so, brothers and sisters, as we come today, just to continue to praise this God who's so faithful and loving, I want to call us to consider again the cross. Consider again the generosity of God. Consider again his love and compassion for us, the needy. Consider again how he was willing to do that in a way that others didn't recognize, and yet he still did it. And then I want to invite you and I to consider afresh our giving. Secretly. We deliberately had the offering earlier, so that this time afterwards could be a time where we can think about our giving in a kind of between us and God way. And there's something I want to do to get us to reflect into that in just a moment a bit more. But I would love to invite the band to come back up at this point. And I would love us first to really press into this amazing amazing Father that we have, who's so generous, this Jesus who gave it all for us, that we would be those who are enabled again to think about our giving and our secret love relationship with this one who gave everything for us. So maybe we could just bow our heads. I want to lead us in prayer. I just want to start by thanking God. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross, for the way you, Lord, made such a sacrifice to us in need. And Lord, we acknowledge our need again this morning. And we acknowledge the wonder of your grace. Lord, transform our lives. Lord, we, through faith in Christ, become your children. And we want to cry out, Abba, Father. We want to be like you. We want to please you. So lead us and guide us in living these lives of love, of compassion, of generosity. Lord, we want to be even more those who, Lord, just grow in this grace of giving, who excel in it, Lord, who Lord, become as you are, generous people. Lord, we want to say, forgive us where we're not. Lord, help us. Come meet with us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.